Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you. It's always wonderful to worship together in this beautiful, homey sanctuary. This is a comment that I hear from people who come to visit our church. You know, it's such a beautiful sanctuary, and I, you know, always explain how the sanctuary was built. I mean, as you have felt, there's always special feeling that you get from this sanctuary. Not the size of it, you know, not the, all the things that you see, but there's a certain feeling that you get from here. And that's, to me, the testament of the presence of the Holy Spirit among us and in this church. So praise the Lord for that. And I pray that we will experience once more God's presence as we worship together, either sitting here or via Zoom, because God has always the messages to speak to us, and I hope that the message that God has placed in my heart will speak to your heart, because definitely this is a message for me as well. I was traveling with my daughter just out of town, and you know, I had a little time to share my stories. I often don't have that chance, so I was telling about what happened and all that, and I had a chance to share about one specific part of my life, and that brought me a lot of resentment, right? And you know what she said? Well, Dad, that's hard for you to carry that burden. You gotta let go. You know, I mean, you know, she grew up as a pastor kid. Now she gets to preach to me. And I mean, she's absolutely right. So this is a message that God has prepared for me as well. The chickens in a large hen house began to peck out each other's feathers. As the quarreling escalated, a number died every day. The concerned farmer rushed to a consultant and asked for a solution to the problem. Add a little sugar to the hen's food, he advised. It will keep them sweet and help them to calm down. A week later, the farmer called on the consultant again. The sugar had no effect. My chickens are still dying. What shall I do? Add pear juice to their drinking water, he suggested. That will help them for sure. A week later, the farmer was back once more. My chickens are still quarreling, he told the consultant. Do you have any more advice? I can offer you more and more advice, replied the consultant. The real question is whether you have any more chickens. Quarreling is a common thing when living in the same house. Living together can be a blessing, but it can also create conflicts and fights. Under the same roof, siblings can develop lasting love and support. But getting along can be problematic as they know each other's flaw so well. Jesus' famous story shed light on sibling rivalry to begin with, and a lot more profound truth. The older son's sneer at the return of his prodigal brother and his father's throwing a lavish welcome home party for him exemplifies someone who does not know how to digest the painful past and constantly suffers from it. The older brother serves as a mirror to show us what happens when we relive the pains from our past. Let us see what kind of person the older brother was. He was a perfectionist. He acknowledged it as he spoke to his father. He said, "Look, all those years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. the older son appeared steadfast, faithful, obedient, responsible, long-enduring, etc., and etc. He lived according to his conscience. He did not see any flaw in himself, possibly. To compare the older son with the prodigal, the older son was surely a saint. The question is, was this perfect saint happy? He was not. He was unhappy with his brother who led a dissipated life and squandered all the possession, supposedly one-third of his father's wealth. The older brother was not happy with his father either and accused his father of not being fair to him. We can assume that he was unhappy with his life despite his perfectionist lifestyle. Consequently, he refused to participate in the feast. How about the older brother's symptoms, as we can find from that conversation and an attitude that he showed to his father? Does he show any symptoms of a perfectionist? He does, and he did. Because he was so perfect, he became critical of people who are not as perfect as he was. As a perfectionist, he refused to mingle with less perfect people and chose to isolate himself from them and naturally became a loner. He did not know how to celebrate life and be happy. Perfectionists like the older brother are very conscientious and hardworking people. They always evaluate themselves and others with a measure of a strict righteousness and tend to find fault in themselves and also others. You know, perfectionists are not perfect. They are only trying to be perfect. So, they are not happy about themselves or about others. Ironically, those who the older brother was not happy with were perfectly happy people. Who are those happy folks in Jesus' story? The prodigal son and the father. According to the older brother's criteria, his jerk brother was a disgrace to the family. That brother did not deserve happiness at home. And his father should not have been happy about his return either. If you put their happiness on the scale, the prodigal and the father were extremely happy, while the older brother was extremely unhappy. Do you see a common thread that made the prodigal and the father extremely happy and the older brother extremely unhappy? The common thread is dealing with their painful past. The prodigal reached life's dead end and had only one breakthrough. He had to leave the dissipated life behind and move on to a new phase. As for the father, his son's shameful past was never an issue. Using the very word of the father, his son's past was lost and dead in his memory. However, the younger brother's past mistakes still live vividly in the older brother's mind. The younger brother caused the older brother a lot of pain. So what did the older brother do? He chose to handle the situation by isolating himself from his brother and his father. When he talked to his father, he called his brother, "This son of yours." I mean, why did he call that? "This son of yours." "When this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitute, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." He did not have to call him by that, "this son of yours." Because when he said, "this son of yours," he recognized the prodigal as his brother. But it shows the older brother's intention to disown the prodigal as his brother. Then the older brother refused to see his brother and stay outside the house. Interesting picture here. The prodigal is inside the house celebrating, and the perfectionist son is outside grieving, implying who the true prodigal was in the end. By distancing himself, the older brother sought to release himself from the unpleasant memories and realities. What if the older brother chose to confront the prodigal and had a chance to witness his transformation? The prodigal was no longer the same as older brother used to know. The older brother's anger could have been subsided. There might have been a chance of reconciliation, but not the slightest chance was given when the older brother isolated himself from his younger brother. Isolation is people's common practice to deal with pain, because avoiding the ones who hurt them offers temporary relief. It was what the older brother chose to do. Contrarily, he only extended his pain and relived it over and over. The method of isolation is not only detrimental, but only senseless. Say that we have someone who causes so much pain and decided to distance from that person. As time passes, we don't talk to that person, nor do we know that person's whereabout. In some cases, that person is already dead. But here we are, still angry about what that person did years ago. That dead person still lives in our hearts, torturing us all over again. That is not the kind of life that God has designed for us. What is the life that God wants us to live? The father urged his older son to come to the feast and celebrate with him and his brother, and said, "I am always with you, and everything I have is yours." God wants us to be happy in his presence and celebrate life, not suffer from the painful past. How can we be free from our painful past? Learn from the Father. Instead of running away and isolating ourselves from those who hurt us, practice forgiveness. Forgiving those who sin against us is hard, but there is no point in suffering from what happened in the past. It is like crying over the spilled milk. Forgiving is difficult to initiate, but can get easier once it is started. In an article in Guidepost, Corrie ten Boom, former prisoner of the concentration camp, told of not being able to forget a wrong that had been done to her in that camp. She had forgiven the person, but she kept rehashing the incident, and so couldn't sleep. Finally, Corrie cried out to God for helping in putting the problem to rest. She writes the following. His help came in the form of a kindly Lutheran pastor to whom I confessed my failure after 2 sleepless weeks. Up in that church tower, he said, nodding out the window, is a bell which is rung by pulling on a rope. But you know what? After the sexton lets go of the rope, the bell keeps on swinging, first ding and then dong, slower, slower, until there is a final dong and it stops. I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive, we take our hands up the rope, but if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming for a while. They are just the ding-dongs of the old bell slowing down. And so it proved to be. There were a few more midnight reverberations, a couple of dings when the subject came up in my conversations. But the force, which was my willingness in the matter, had gone out of them. They came less and less often, and at last stopped altogether. And so I discovered another secret of forgiveness. We can trust God not only above our emotion, but also above our thoughts. The end of quote. Forgiveness, to raise the painful memories from our mind, is possible. We just have to practice it. It may be hard, but just do it over and over, and it's like the bells and ding-dongs, and it will eventually stop. If any of us happen to suffer from our own flaws and sins in the past, then learn from the prodigal and take an explicit action of repentance. Jesus, in his story, included the prodigal's key steps of repentance. He came to his senses, recognized his wrongs and his unworthiness, left his shame behind, and returned to the Father. Some may preach a cheap gospel that God loves everybody unconditionally and you do not have to repent your sins. It may sound pleasing to human ears, but it ignores the critical fact that without those explicit steps of repentance, people still suffer from past wrongs even after they accept Christ. So that's not a good gospel message. There gotta be an explicit step of repentance that the prodigal took. We all have painful past. And that's what I have learned out of 40 years of ministry, serving all different kinds of people. We all have painful past. There's no exception. Partly caused by our own flaws and partly by the harm done to us by others. As was in the case of the older brother, we sometimes suffer from someone's mistake and our self-righteousness, righteous anger kicks in every time. As in the case of the younger brother, Our hearts sometimes are filled with remorse and guilt. Past mistakes made out of immaturity and ignorance still hunt us down. Therefore, there are two prescriptions for our painful past. One, forgiving others as Jesus forgave us. Two, receiving forgiveness from Jesus. Remember the part of the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. That part of the prayer are those two prescriptions to liberate us from our painful past. We're supposed to recite the prayer every day. The Lord's Prayer is designed to be our daily prayer, which means we gotta practice the forgiveness every day by praying that prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us are those two prescriptions to liberate us from our painful past and take us to the feast that our Heavenly Father prepared for all of us to enjoy. Amen.